You know, we're living in a time frame mentioned in the Bible that's really a very serious time. There's people, there's ministers, there's prophets that would have loved to live in this time frame that we're living in. You know, and you look in the natural, you look out there in our world, and it seems so messed up. You know, the whole world is, it's like it's falling apart. I got news for you. The world is not falling apart. The world is falling into Jesus' place, into His time frame, into His plan and purpose. God doesn't waste anything. He accomplishes His purposes. So we're living in this serious time frame. It involves really what we believe in. This is going to be, you'll find this is going to be very crucial. What we believe in. And it has serious, serious consequences to the direction of our life and the direction that we head eventually. And if we take the wrong road, listen to the wrong voice, it will lead us to disaster for eternity. The title of my message this morning is The Repercussions of Believing the Lie. The repercussions of believing the lie. You know, God, it's hard for us to imagine living for eternity. What did He do out there? You know, what happened? What was going on? But somewhere along, we would call the point of time. Somewhere down the road, back there, somewhere. God decided He wanted to have someone that He could have fellowship with, that He could relate to, besides the angels, and besides some of the creatures that you see mentioned in the Old Testament. Really strange-looking creatures. But God wanted someone, some people. It's not just one, some people. Even one of the Bible says that He wasn't willing to just have Jesus come and take care of the Jews. No, He wanted Him to be over the whole universe. He wanted to bring in all of mankind to Himself. Our God's a wonderful, loving God. But our God's also God of truth, and He's a God of holiness. He will not put up with sin. He will not. He will deal with sin in our lives. He will do whatever it takes. And sometimes whatever it takes sometimes can be drastic on our part. You're going to pay the piper, even if you're saved. Apostle Paul, he was persecuting the Christians. He caused many of them to be murdered, to be killed, be put in prison. God saved his soul. He was called Saul of Tarsus and made him Paul the Apostle. And Paul the Apostle became the apostle to the Gentiles, basically, in the world. And the Lord warned him through Ananias, who came and prayed for him and healed him of his blindness. He said, Paul is going to know the great things he's going to have to suffer in my name. I believe a lot of that suffering happened as a result of what he did to the Jewish people. But he became one of the greatest apostles of all time. And we have many books in the Bible, in the New Testament, that were written by Paul the Apostle. Messages that we can learn from and be blessed with and everything. But in any case, God decided he wanted to have someone that he could have fellowship with. So I'd like you to turn to, we're talking about the creation of man here, Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, the God here is Elohim. It's the plural form of God. Like the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, all the aspects of God, the names of God. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. You see, one of the things that the devil really wanted, he wanted to be like a man. Because he found out about what God was going to do with man, and he wanted to be a man. But he couldn't be a man because he was an angel. But let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill all the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then we come into a real strange thing that happened. I'm guessing here, but I think the angels of God were shocked that God would allow Satan to come in the form of a serpent. The very people that God created, man and woman, he created man and woman, Adam and Eve. And those very people, God was allowing Satan to come in and tempt them and test them. In Genesis 3, 1 to 5, it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? You know, the devil hasn't changed his tactics over the years. He questions God's word. Has God really said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day of you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, they were already like God because they were created in the image and likeness of God. You see, the devil, he just likes to, he'll take a little dab of truth and mix it up with a lie. And we'll get into that in a minute. But we were created in his image and likeness. So why did God allow Satan to access mankind? Well, God didn't create robots. He didn't create robots. What he wanted was someone that he could relate to, someone that he could have fellowship with, that wanted to have fellowship with him, that would love him and respond to his love for them. And so man was created with a free will. So Satan was the choice of being the choice, so to speak. Man could obey God and choose to serve him or believe the lie and serve the devil. So Satan will be around for a while till the end of the age here. Because God still needs that. We need that choice. Do we really want to serve God? Are we really hungry for God? Do we love God with all of our hearts and all our souls? See, he's putting the choice out there. And so Satan questioned the word of God, sowing doubt, and he used that little bit of truth wrapped up in a lie to deceive the woman. And the problem is, she believed him. She ate the fruit and gave it to Adam, which was right there with her. So I don't know what in the world Adam was thinking about. And he introduced sin into mankind. They would surely die. They will. They would. And their eyes. Now Satan said, the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened. And their eyes were opened. And they discovered they were naked. And they tried to cover up by sewing fig leaves together, and they hid from God. You see, mankind, they like to hide their sin. They like to cover it up. The problem with the glory of God, the actual glory of God, was their clothing. And when sin entered, the glory was gone and they discovered they're naked. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we have no remedy in ourselves. We cannot cover up our transgressions. But we have to come to Jesus to receive mercy and forgiveness by acknowledging and repenting for our sins and receiving him into our lives. So I'd like to look at the idea of God's wrath on unforgiveness. Human history began with man knowing God, but turned from the truth and rejected God. God revealed himself to man through creation, the things that he made. From the world around him, man knew that there was a God who had the wisdom to plan and the power to create. Man realized, too, that this creator was eternal. Romans 1:20 calls about his eternal power and Godhead. Since God could not be created if he's the creator, these facts about God were not hidden in creation. They are clearly seen, according to Romans. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Romans 1, verses 18 and 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they cover up and hide the truth through their unrighteousness, through the deeds that they're doing. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, Helen Keller was born blind and deaf. And when they finally figured out how to communicate with her, she said that she always knew that there was a God, but didn't know his name. Now here she is, blind and deaf. And even she figured out that there was a God, but that she didn't know his name. Ignorance. Man knew God, this is clear. But man did not want to honor God. No, he didn't want to know God or honor him as God. One of the things that you see it all the time. You can't speak the name of Jesus. They don't want God mentioned anywhere. You know, take it out of the money in God we trust or whatever. I mean, they don't want, they pretend. Oh, how dangerous it is to pretend with the lie. So instead of being thankful for all God had given him, man refused to thank God or give him the glory he deserves. Man was willing to use God's gifts, but he was not willing to worship and praise God for his gift. What was the gift of eternal life, for one thing. Remember the story I read one time about somebody came up to God and said, we figured out how to create life. And God says, oh, show me. Well, first you take a little dirt here. Oh, back. I created that. You didn't create that. So how are you going to create life? See, the result with them is an empty mind and a darkened heart. Man the worshiper became man the philosopher. So we know what I think of philosophy. But his empty wisdom only revealed his foolishness. And having held down or suppressed God's truth and refusing to acknowledge God's glory, man was left without a God. And this is important. Even if he will not worship the true God, but if he will worship a God that he can create. Even if he has to manufacture it himself. This fact about man accounts for his propensity to idolatry. Man exchanged or gave up the glory of the true God for substitute gods that he himself made. He exchanged glory for shame, incorruption for corruption, truth for lies. And basically, they want to run their own lives. Don't tell me how to live. I'm going to live the way I want to. Well, the way you want to live is going to end up in a place you don't want to be eventually. Romans 1:21-24. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, Satan told Eve, you should be as God. You'll be like God. If a man is his own God, then he can do whatever he pleases and fulfill his desires without fulfill of judgment. That's what makes it appealing to people. We reach the climax of man's battle with God's truth when man literally exchanges the truth of God for the lie and abandons truth completely. Then by this time you are in serious, serious trouble. The Bible says in Genesis 6 that my spirit will not always strive with man, seeing his flesh. It will not always strive. Who do you know when he's going to stop striving? It's really important. So God gave them over, this time to a depraved mind, which means a mind that cannot form right judgments. they now abandon themselves to sin. And since they refuse to acknowledge God in their thoughts, they want to bury God somewhere so where they don't have to even think about Him. Then they end up lower than the birds, beasts, and the insects, worshiping them as gods with the verdict from God, they are without excuse. Imagine that. They make beasts and insects and everything that they worship. Over in India, they'd worship the cows. So you couldn't kill a cow. You had to take care of them. You had to feed them the food and everything. And the people starve because of the food they're feeding the cows, and you can't eat the cows, you know. The devil's got a sneaky way of doing things and corrupting man's mind. And the problem becomes when you reject the truth. When you reject the truth. So verses 26 to 32, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use to the women, burned in their lust for one another, men committing that which is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. I think one of the penalties, I think, was the AIDS that happened. You want to live that lifestyle? This is some of the results that can happen. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness. No, I want you to listen. All these things happen. All these things happen. Filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, their whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undeserving, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgivable, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And you can look out in our world today and you can see all of that stuff going on. And you wonder, how in the world did all that happen? Because of rejecting the truth. Because of rejecting the truth. And believe it or not, it's actually the church that failed to hold the standard. It was the church that failed to step in and try to stop some of this stuff that began to take place. So I'd like to look at the antidote. This is important. Or the remedy for all this. Some people will say, one of the remedies is to, first of all, welcome the truth. And then live the truth. And you might say, I don't know if I can quite go there yet. I don't know that I can make that decision yet. I got to think about that tomorrow. But if you don't go there, you're already falling under the spell of the lie, which you will believe if you keep rejecting the truth. You will believe the lie because you're going to believe something. And if you don't believe the truth, you will believe the lie. It's serious. Your life hangs in the balance between a choice that you and I have to make. It hangs in the balance. 2 Corinthians 5:17-19 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So what does that mean? First of all, God will not dwell with sin. He will not put up with sin. He was not going to have sin. But God was in Christ. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God reconciled the world to himself through Jesus Christ and made it possible for man to come before Jesus, before God, without fault. Because we now come in Christ's righteousness. We come in his holiness. His blood covers us. And we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And then he gives us the ministry of reconciliation too. We have the ability to bring others into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that should be our goal. Hallelujah. The just live by faith. Paul said this in the book of Romans. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God, the salvation to everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, what's that? The gospel or the good news. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Just a minute, I need to talk to a friend here for a second. By the way, how is your walk with God? Well, I consider myself to be a real strong Christian. Well, how do you do that? Well, I go to church every Sunday morning. Well, good for you. Do you go to any other services? No, Sunday's plenty. Have you ever thought about attending Sunday school, Bible study, where it's at 9:15 in the morning, just before service. We're teaching on the book of Psalms right now. Oh, let's see. That's in the New Testament, isn't it? I think I saw it a time or two. I haven't really looked at it. However, that's really too early for me. I have my beauty sleep, you know. Well, no, it's actually in the Old Testament. Have you read much in the Bible? Well, I rely on the messages that Pastor preaches every Sunday morning. And they really keep me up to date. So that's all you have to rely on to make you a strong Christian? Let me share a scripture with you that you might want to consider to make you stronger yet. And we'll talk again soon. Hebrews 10:22-25. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assemblies of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, you don't go to church just for yourself. you go to also to encourage others and to encourage their walk with God. We need to come into the house of God often so we will be encouraged and that we can be an encouragement to others. When you don't show up, a part of the body is missing. If we're all part of the body of Christ, if you don't show up, there's a part missing. God has a calling in our life and things that he wants to do in us. And so we need to have often a fellowship of believers in order to grow, in order to keep on track. We need to come into the house often. Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's interesting that God has already, before we were formed, he had a plan and a purpose for us. And if you go back to Psalm 139, you'll find out that God even wrote a book about you before you were even born. And in that book are all the days of your life, all the things that he wanted you to do. And God knows, and we're his workmanship. And then James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. This is a problem. We say, there's people out there who got a head knowledge of God. Yeah, they got it up here. They need to get it down in their heart. Well, that's good. We can get it down in the heart. But then it needs to go a little bit further. It needs to get to our will so that we will actually do what we've got down here. Does that make sense? You see, we can get it from here to here and heart, and that's good. That's good there. But we need to get into the will and live it out. We have to make a choice to do the will of God in the Word. So when we hear the Word of God, we need to be like James says, we need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And then Psalms 119:29 says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. Years ago, I knew another guy that I worked with that it was like he lied so much I don't think he knew it. He thought it was all truth. It was just constant lies. It was a way of living, way of lying. Christian has no place for lies. We can lie to ourselves so that we don't have to live to do what we're supposed to do. We can lie to ourselves to keep from doing what we're supposed to do. Proverbs 14:12, and there's another in Proverbs, says the same scripture. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. You see, when Satan came in the form of a serpent, came to Eve, it sounded good. And the devil can come to you and spout something off, and it sounds good, but it's the way of death. It's the way of death. How do you know that? By knowing the Word of God. Hallelujah. That's why it's so important to get in the Word of God. We need to get into that daily. We need to, every single day, you need to be in the Word of God. And that's one of the reasons why we need to be in the house of God, so we hear the pastor's messages and all that. One of the ways that we accomplish that is by, how does it line up with the Bible? When we hear something, Many times I've heard something, you know, and it just, it sounds off. How does it line up with the Bible? That's why you need to know the Bible. Joshua 24:15, he says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a real lot of truth right there. He was even given the opportunity. You want to serve those gods? But we're going to serve the Lord, because that's the only way of truth in life. God always proves himself. And the gods of this world, they're empty. They're death. They're nothing. Are you willing to rely on yourself to save you? Are you willing to rely on yourself to save you? Are you willing to rely on your ideas? You see, the Word of God is what's truth. And anything outside of that is not truth. Are you willing to rely on yourself to save you? These gods that create, they have to be carried around because they can't walk. Remember the one, the god, Dagon or whatever, fell down. He was on his face before God when they carried the ark. They have to be carried around because they can't walk. They have a mouth, but they can't speak. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. Why would you trust something like that to save you? You see, we got an eternity out there. So the only way they can do it, they have to suppress or press down the truth. They have to get God out of the situation. We're not allowed to speak the name of God. We're not allowed to speak the name of Jesus. Turn to the Lord. He's mighty to save, to heal, to instruct, and to help you, because he's God. We were created for him, to have fellowship with him forever and forever and forever. And God's got such wonderful and tremendous things for us if we will turn and follow him. He wants the very best for you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by him. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That's the choice. Truth or lies. Heaven or hell. Eternity, eternity. Where will you spend eternity? And what will you do with Jesus? That's the question this morning. Where will you spend eternity? And what will you do with Jesus? The repercussions of believing the lie are serious. They will happen. Choose to believe life and not death. Turn to the Lord. Have eternal life with him. He loves you and wants his best for you. God does not send you to hell. You send yourself there. God doesn't send you there. You send yourself there by the choice that you make. You choose to go there by rejecting God's truth. He's looking for those who would want a deep relationship with him. He's not going to take someone into heaven who has no desire to have a relationship with him. If you don't want to have a relationship down here with him, why would he want you over there? Because that's what he created us for. Sin will not be in heaven. You will not have sin in heaven. It will be totally wiped out. Father, this morning, we turn to you. And Lord, I don't know where everybody's at. You're the one that knows. You're the one that laid this message on my heart. And I know that you're speaking to somebody's heart this day. I know, God, that you're calling them to come to you. And Lord, I pray that you will touch their hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will open up their eyes to see truth and reality, and they will turn their hearts over to you. Where will you spend eternity? And what will you do with Jesus? That's the question this morning. Where is your heart? Are you willing to make that choice for Jesus? Are you willing to turn yourself over to him and allow him to have your way? Are you willing to turn to him and have a solid walk with God that you'll have for eternity? Or will you reject it and believe the lie? Will you say, well, I'm not ready yet? But what would happen if the Lord would come like that? Whatever you wear at that moment is what you'd be out for eternity. That's what it would be for eternity. Bible says today is the day of salvation. So what will you do with Jesus today? He's calling you. If there's anyone here who would like to receive Jesus or recommit their lives unto you, I'd like you to raise your hand. Lord, you're dealing with people. I know you are. You're giving the opportunity, Lord, to make that choice. And I pray, Father, that you will touch their hearts. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is such an awesome God. Lord, we just pray that you'll touch our hearts this morning. God, I pray that you'll minister to those you're speaking to. And I pray, God, that they will make a commitment to you. Lord, we put them in your hands right now in Jesus' name. We put them in your hands right now in Jesus' name. And we commit ourselves to you. We love you. We praise you. We want to serve you. We want to walk with you. And God, I just pray that you'll bless your people this day. Give them strength. Give them wholeness. Help them to walk closer to you than they ever have before. And Lord, we just commit each one into your hands in Jesus' name.